Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we come before You now, Lord. And Lord, we thank You that You are the one that gives us the energy. You are the one that put the desire in our hearts to walk through those doors today, Lord. And we come to be before You, Lord. It's not no longer about us. It's about You. We bring our praise. We bring our worship. And Lord, we open our hearts that You would have Your way with us, Lord. Open our minds even, Lord, so that we could have understanding of what You're doing in this church body. Lord, Your will be done in each one of us. We praise You. We thank You. And we thank You in the name of Jesus.
I was going over this next song, The Blessing. And this is a powerful song. It's all about God's love. And it really, it's surpassing anything that we could even imagine. It really does. There are things coming for us after we die. After we don't really die, we transfer, right? We just got a transfer ticket, and we go up. There is no greater love. I was going over this last night, and I began to weep because I thought, there's no way that I'm worthy to be blessed like this. He wants to bless us from this generation and 10,000 generations down the road. People we don't even see, because we love the Lord. Amen. Because we care. Because we come before Him with supplication and thanks. Amen.
Amen.
He has done so many wonderful good things.
You know, one of the reasons that people love this song so much is because it is directly from the Bible. But this is only one of the many, many promises that He gives you in His Word. But you know, there's a lot of times where we read those words and we don't realize the power that's within them. The power that's within you on a regular basis. It's not just a book. And they're not just words. They're alive. They're living. It's exactly what you need in every moment you need it. And it's exactly what you need for a building up in your life. We're getting to a point where who God's called us to be isn't just for you, but it's for the people around you. It's for the people that He's placed within your life. And regardless of what you think, your jobs, your schools, your all of it, it's a mission field for you, but not one that you have to just go out and conquer alone. Because if you go after God for all things, it's going to shine bright in your life. Because as He speaks to you, there's this weeding out that happens in your life, right? It just begins to naturally, there's things that He shows you, He reveals to you, and it begins to weed out things in your life, and then He begins to pour in so much more. It's where the overflow really comes from. Because as you go after Him, you'll just begin to see that that revelation in your life is a pouring into your life. And as you grow, precept upon precept, line upon line, as He gives you things, you're going to begin to see that what's in that book isn't just words. That it's meant for you to go out. It's meant for you to walk in them. It's meant for you to live by them. It's meant for you to show people what the kingdom looks like. The church so often talks about wanting to see the kingdom on earth. It is on earth because it's you. It is you. When you're praying for revivals and all those things, go after God because it's in. you. It's already here. It's just you learning to walk in what he's given you. It's you learning to take steps in faith towards things that you can't see, but that you're hoping for. Whoo, come on. This is stuff that we are meant to get excited about. This right here is exactly what the church is meant to do. It's not a routine. It's not a religion. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship with God. It's learning that there's a Father who wants to have a relationship with you, that wants to pour into you, that wants to give you more, that wants to build you up and send you out. It's a blessing. He has placed a blessing on your life. He has made you more than a conqueror. He has given you every single thing you need so that with faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. He has given you every single thing that you need so that you can just stay still with him and let him fight your battles for you. He's giving you tools. He's giving you everything you need in the Word. We gotta start walking in it. Whew. Because your life is not just meant to be lived and just okay. Man, it's supposed to be overflowing with abundance. And that's not to say that things aren't going to come against you, but don't look at them that way. Look at them as a building up of what he has for you, because he wants to give you more. Because he's placing more within you all of the time, every single day, every single moment. If you turn to him, you'll begin to see that it's an edification in your life. There's revelation that's happening. It's just giving you more of what he has for you. Because I guarantee you, there are things that he's placed within you that he still wants to pull out, that he still wants to show you. I've given you these things. And because of who he is within us, you are royalty and you are powerful in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is here. Whew.
Paul says that I come to you with fear and trembling, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel that we all have that within us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to come within us. One of the things that he's been showing me and he brought back to my attention is that it says no one can pour new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the wine will burst and the skin will be both the wine. Sorry. Let me start it over again. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the wine will burst and the skin will, and both will be ruined. And the wineskin, and no one pours new wine into the wineskin. So we're going to have new revelation. And we're going to have new things, but we don't need an old wineskin to put it back in. We need to have a new wineskin. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a new wineskin. And it also says, let me see if I can find it again, that we have the Spirit of God to work within us, and we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm trying to find the scripture that I just read, I was looking at. And what it has to say is that the Spirit within us compels us. We get where we feel that we need to say something and we don't say it. But it overwhelms us with his presence. And it's like we're compelled to speak it. So I just want you to understand through the Holy Spirit that He wants to show you new things. The old is, it's old. You're a new transformation. You are new in Christ. The old has passed away. So what is He trying to show you for today? We can't stay where we were yesterday. We have to grow and be, because He's doing new things. He's doing new things. It's not the old stuff anymore. So I ask that we would all ask the Holy Spirit to bless us with new wineskin, so we would be able to understand and have wisdom on what He wants to show us now.
Okay. I felt really moved to come up here because I went to Resurrection High School when I was younger, and it's all about hope and about restoring. And my whole life's been about restoring. I don't know about you, but sometimes it felt like the enemy was just beating me down again and again and again. And I just sort of gave up sometimes. And so I felt it was really important to remind you all, and through all these songs today that we were singing and the connection with the Lord, building our relationship, He's always there with us. And I kind of always called Him the fix-it man. If He can take something that's broken, He can fix it, right? And we've all had experiences where that's happened. It's when we allowed ourselves to get out of the way. Let the old man, the one that we used to believe in or think was us, let it fall away and be restored and renewed in Him. And He is there for the long haul. He's going to see us through completely. And we have to have faith. We have to build that every day and keep calling on, you know, like she was saying, the new skin. Get rid of the old and let the new come in. And I was really, this is my first summer in the Tucson area. And I saw the last 2 weeks, like 5 or 6 huge storms with lightning all over the sky, a lot of lightning, a lot of rain, a lot of purification, and rainbows. And to me, that means the warfare is taking place and we are overcoming. So I encourage you to keep calling every day in the power of restoration, and that the Lord renews us as well as this whole area, that we are renewed. And the Lord has spoken it. And remember, if the Lord has spoken it and He's spoken over us, then it is so. And we have to claim it and we have to manifest that. And so get that little whatever out of the way and let the new come in. And also, I've been learning a lot about the power of the tongue, to watch what comes out of my mouth, what comes out of my thoughts, my mind, and my thinking and my belief in myself. So I just encourage you all to just work on that and monitor oneself, that we can be better every day. And the Lord will work with us, and we have total faith that He's going to see us through to victory. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I'm back. I found the scripture what I wanted to read to you. And this is the way I feel. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Inside I am like a bottle of wine, like new wineskin ready to burst. I must speak and find relief. I must open my mouth and reply.
You know, I just give honor to the Holy Spirit because He works so powerfully. He just unites everything, every word. I was in Amos 9 and He prompted me to come up here because it happens to speak of new wine. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. So this is in Amos 9:9, and it says, "New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. And I will bring my people, Israel, back from exile. Are we not all in exile at times? Do we not feel that we're in exile when we are troubled? But Jesus said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And this is what he's wanting to do. All those areas where you are hurting and you need healing, take the wine that he says here in Amos 9 that comes from the mountains and comes from the hills. For he has freed Israel and he has freed us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I have a word, and it was about the song that we were just singing and how God is your way maker, your miracle worker, and your promise keeper. And so even if you feel like you just keep falling and falling, God will pull you back up and save you because he is your way maker, miracle worker, and promise keeper. No matter what happens, and he will always be with you. Really, really like this song. I've actually been listening to the song a lot, and I didn't know that they were gonna do it this Sunday, but like the part that stands out to me the most is when, like Abby said, like he's your way maker, your miracle worker, but it's also that it says like you, even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. That he never stops. He like never stops working. And that's what I think is like really, really powerful, is because it's true. Like he never stops working. He's always working in your life. There's never a moment where he's not working. Wow. He's always right there when you're down and you're lowest, you're there in your highest, and he's always just right there by your side no matter what. He's never ever gonna be done working. He's always just gonna keep working and working and working. It's never gonna stop, ever.
Something that I shared in the study that the Lord's been shining to me, I believe, is like Paul said, in whom I live and breathe and have my being, and Christ in me, the hope of glory. Don't you know that Jesus Christ lives in you? And so someone said, this is someone that was on the internet, I heard it, but the Lord's been opening up to me, or I'm opening up to it. And we have thought that we're moving, and what he's saying, what he said in the video, and well, it's an audio, he said, we don't move, the Lord moves us. And I'm like thinking about that, and Lord, help me to just receive this and work. I'm not at work, but allow him to do it, because we think we're living and breathing and doing it ourselves, but it's him doing it in us and through us. And like John the Baptist said, he said that he may be less, that the Lord may be more, but really, eventually it's, Lord, none of us and all of him, but it's a process of reconciliation, restoration. He takes back over what he's taken back, his, that is his, he owns everything. But Lord, help us all to allow him to do what he wants in and through us. And we need each other. We need every joint to supply in his body. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Okay, so I've never done this. For those of you that know me, you know that for the last 2.5 years, I've been taking care of my disabled granddaughter. And every song today has spoke about miracles. And even our power verse. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So for 2.5 years, I've been working, trying to get my 11-year-old granddaughter to talk, to read, to try to get her into the deaf school. And I have been fighting with Paradise Valley for 2 years. And I got an email this week saying that Paradise Valley has released her and she can now go to the deaf school, which is God working. I never thought I would get her there. She can't read, she can't talk, and she's 11. So, I come home 36 hours a month. That's it. And all the rest of my time is spent with her. So now that I got her into the deaf school, Mama could come home, or Grandma, and have a relationship once again with my husband, and come to church more often. So, that's all I wanted to say. God is good.
So, I saw this verse like twice today, two completely different places. So I guess I should probably share it. I'm not usually that kind of guy, but you know, it's important. Like me, I'm big on wisdom, right? Big on getting wisdom from the Bible. It is so important because, like, I mean, does this sound right to you? Greater is the world than he who is in me? No, it doesn't. Wait, how's that go?
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yeah. But you know what? I think we forget that a lot of times. Because so many times when things go wrong, we take a look at the world. What do we think? Oh, it's so dark. There's no way back from this. Jesus, come now because we can't change this. Well, we can't, but Jesus can, right? If we remember all the power that God has, we wouldn't worry about anything. If we remember what promises were in the Bible, we wouldn't worry about anything. Because we know who our God is, and that even when it's dark, we're still going to be okay. So let me read this verse to you. It's Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. This is in the Amplified. But it says this: My son, eat honey because it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for your life and soul. If you find wisdom, then there will be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off.
Yeah. Mm. Come on.
You know, when Stella was talking, it reminded me of Moses. The Bible says he had a stutter, and when God called him, it was one of the things he used, right? I can't go, God. And there's a lot of times that we're the same way, right? Where when God tells us something to do, something that he's given us, we ought to, well, I can't do that. But God is the one who made you.
Yeah, come on.
He created you, and he knows what's within you. And sometimes that direction is exactly what we need to push us in the direction that he's asking us to go, right? Is that ability to just say, okay, I'm going to step out even though I don't know what's going to happen. But in that conversation with God that Moses was having, I really like how, it's something I've always really liked, is that he gives him all of excuses, he says all of his stuff, but what God tells him is he tells him that he is the I am. And it's such a powerful thing, even in the moment when he's talking to him. Because even though he has excuse after excuse of why he can't do it, God's telling him, okay, but I'm everything. All of those excuses. I am the counselor. I am the one who will speak for you.
Yeah.
I am the one who gives you victory. I am gonna make you the head and not the toe, the tail, above and not beneath. He is the one who will do everything for you. I am the healer.
Yeah, come on.
And all we gotta do is listen to what he's given us. It's such a simple thing, but it's such a powerful thing when we can learn that what God's given us, we need to take it and run with it.
Amen.
That we gotta know that, okay, God, you said it, I'm gonna stand on it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what we see, regardless of what's happening around us physically, regardless of what we think and feel, that the Spirit is gonna be what we put before us, and Amen. It's gonna be what we go with.
Right. Yeah,
and when we learn to surrender the rest and just stand on the promises that God's given, it's when you become everything he created you to be.
Come on.
It's when you become powerful because of who he is in you.
Yeah.
Because now you are going after every single thing that he has for you. Obedience is a crazy thing. It can seem so hard to us, but if you just surrender and you're obedient, you'll begin to see things in your life just fall into place in a way that you didn't even ever think they could. Because just like we sing in this, that's why I love this part of the song, this bridge, because it's true. Even when we don't see it, he's working.
Amen.
Even when we don't feel it, he's working. It doesn't stop because you stop believing. He keeps working in your life.
Come on. Hallelujah.
It's sometimes why we're going through those trials and tribulations, right? It's because God is working in you. And it doesn't
yes.
matter the way you,
yes.
you're seeing it. He is still working.
Yes.
He never stops working. He continues to work and work and work regardless of the state of you, where you stand.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And that's what's right. an awesome thing, because sometimes that working in you is really building you towards something that he's sending you towards. Not sometimes,
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells us that all things work together for good. That's why we're not meant to look at things the same way the world looks at them. We're meant to keep our eyes on God
Amen.
Through
Praise
all God. Of it, through the storms, through just like Lonnie said, even in the highest moments, he is working.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that just because things are good and great that he's not working in your life. He is working things in your life all the time. It doesn't matter where you're at or what's happening. But you gotta surrender to him.
Yeah.
He's gonna give you so much more. He wants to pour so much more all the time. But it's believing and stepping out in faith that allows those things that seem impossible in your life to become totally possible.
Yes, Lord.
Because God tells us that there's nothing that's impossible with him, right?
Amen. That's right.
But where do the limitations come from? They come from us. And what we think we know, right, based on what we see. But God's saying, no, I already told you that I made it possible. So now walk in it. And
yeah.
that's what he wants the church to do.
Come on.
He wants us to start walking in what he's given us. Because he doesn't desire for us to just sit in here and do church all the time. He desires for us to come in here, be built up, be encouraged, encourage each other as a body, and go out and then encourage people around us.
Amen. Praise God.
It's a flow. It really is. He's pouring into you, but you're going to pour out. Because as you begin to walk in what he's
yeah.
given you, you begin to see doors open. You begin to see those springs that come forth in the desert. You begin to see all of those things in your life just come up because of what's happening in the revelation in your life. It's that transformation, the renewing of your mind. It's the reason that we tell you when we speak things up here, go to God and say, God, okay, I don't know if I understood it completely, but show me. Because that revelation in your life is going to be what allows you to just walk in the things given you, the promises that he's given you, the great things that he's given you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's okay. Come on. She tells me sorry. Oh, no. Never be sorry. How many say amen? Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. How many? Billy's back. Can you say amen? Give him a hand. Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, you know, Stella brought up the wineskins. How many of you have a brand new wineskin? How many of you have a wineskin? Oh, yeah. Man, I'm a wino for God. Can you say that? I love the wine that comes from God. Amen. There ain't no wine like his wine. How many say amen to that? Amen. Let's make a commercial about the fields of God. Amen. And the wine that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Can you say amen? Thank you all for building up the body of Christ. Amen. I believe in this house we are. I mean, the Lord has told us, this is what I want you to do. Put a mic, because I want the body to strengthen the body. And it's kind of, you know, men use it a lot. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, kind of it's not a guy thing. How many say amen to that? It is a building up of one another, but the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so I hope it doesn't bother you about the mic and people coming up and everything, because it's a little different. How many say, man, it can be different? And people, a lot of churches will maybe not do this. I wasn't real crazy about doing it when the Lord first spoke to me about it. Is that okay? But I have found that I've heard things coming out of this microphone to the body of Christ that you know, people have told me, hey, this person spoke to my heart, or that other person over there spoke to my heart. And see, that's what being the body of Christ is. Do you say amen? We're all members one of another. Can you say amen? Is that okay? Is that all right? Let's just make sure you realize that when you do something wrong, you're taking all the rest with you. Rest of us with you. Do you know that? So maybe hopefully that'll be some kind of deterrent for me from doing things. You know, we teach that we are the redeemed. How many say amen to that? When Jesus paid for your sins, they're done. You are no longer a sinner. Can you say amen? I'm going to say this. You're no longer a sinner. You are redeemed. Is that okay? Okay, maybe you made a mistake and you cuss somebody out and you know, but your heart gets convicted and everything is because God knows what's within you. And those things that are within you, he's after. Can you say it? Anything that's contrary to him, it's going to come up. Is that right? I mean, you know that when you, let me know, I worked in a copper mine, and it happens with copper. When you heat up copper to the point that it begins, you want the purest copper you can get. When you heat it up, you're going to have all sorts of trash come up. Is that okay? Same with gold. Same with silver. You heat it up and you get it into a liquid form. All the stuff that's not silver, gold, or copper, it's going to come to the top and it's going to be the junk. Is that okay? This is all God's doing with you. He's going to say, I'm going to put the fire under this kid, right? Come on, man. He can put a little fire under you, man. Woof, flame comes on. Is that right? And then all that stuff begins to boil out of you. Is that right? And it's okay. Can you say amen? God is for you. He's not against you. Is that right? Come on. God loves you. He cares about you. He knows what he has for you. And there's something he has to do for you to get you there. Is that all right?
Yep.
Hallelujah. While we were playing this morning, that God spoke to my heart. And one of the words that he said to me, he says, Henry, with long life will I satisfy them. And I will show them my salvation. Can I tell you, the salvation that God's given us, that he's brought us into, It is bigger than what we even understand. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's big. Everybody say big.
Big.
Yeah, say it with some feeling. Big.
Yeah.
It's really big. Yeah, God is big. Is that right? This salvation is more than what we can comprehend, but God's bringing us into it. Because there is, I mean, Daniel said, I saw a great mountain, is what he said. He saw the mountain of the Lord. And he said, all the nations flowed into it. Is that okay? Folks, he was talking about the kingdom. This great mountain is the kingdom of God. What Jesus talked about was the kingdom. Know this, if you get healed, know that the finger of God, the kingdom of God, has come upon you. Know this, that the kingdom is, it's here. Can you say amen to that? Jesus said, know that the kingdom is here. If Jesus dwells in you, the kingdom is here. Is that right? Yeah. All we need sometimes is a little push. Is that right? Yeah. And it can be something that you don't like that will push you. Is that okay? Yeah. Because he's going to say, look, I'm going to expose my kingdom. Hallelujah. You chew out your neighbor because a dog pooped on your lawn. Does anybody have lawns? No. Nobody has lawns. I think I'm the only one that has a lawn. Yeah, yeah. You chew out your neighbor. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'll pick it up. You know, you walk back in your house and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. That was real nice of you. Go tell him thank you for cleaning up the mess. Oh, you're right, Lord. So you go back out there and say, I just want to tell you thank you. You see, you're expressing the kingdom. Do you understand that? That's an expression. Yeah, we run into stuff. But the more that you express the kingdom through your life, you're going to find out that God's going to start placing more things for you. Is that okay? How many want more stuff? Yeah, I see three hands. Said, God, I'm fine with what I got, man. I said, don't take me there. No, hey, God really does have a plan for you. Do you know that? Do you understand that God is moving for you? Is that okay? That's what I like about this song. It's taking, he's always working on your behalf. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Because this kingdom is coming. Everybody say the kingdom is coming. He told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This kingdom is, it's coming in a manifestation. I mean, it's not so much just in every believer, which is it's already here, but it is in a, it's going to be in the arena that where everything begins to show up, the kingdom of God, how powerful it is and how much it's needed. Can you say amen? If there's anything that the world needs today, it's a kingdom. And it's the people of the kingdom of God to express that kingdom. Can you say amen? Well, last week we talked a little bit about some kingdom things. One of the things is talking about life and death. Can you say amen? How many of you know that Christ is a representation of life? Do you know that? And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to kind of recap a few things that we did last week, because I believe that this is something that you don't hear too much in a lot of churches. You're not going to hear this kind of a message because it makes it, there's a lot of people, and I understand this very well. They said, that's impossible. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, well, that's impossible. You don't even know what we're going to talk about yet. Some of you do. But you can look at it and say, man, that's impossible. And I just want to remind you, what's impossible for men is very, very, very extremely possible for God. There's not a man on the earth can make a planet by speaking it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There's not a man on, yet God is very able to make stars and moons and all those things. So what's impossible for us is very possible with God. What is impossible with God is for him to lie. Can you say amen? Yeah. That's one thing he cannot do.
Amen.
He won't lie to us. Amen. So what I'm going to talk about today, I want you to take a look at the word. You see what's being presented. And I will say to you that there's a lot of folks are going to say, hey, well, I don't know about that, but yet not look at it. See, folks, what we need to understand is God is pushing us forward. And in that push, we're going to hear some things that just doesn't quite connect with our religious background. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I say religious background because sometimes we have a background that needs to be kind of, well, let me, God says, let me put some fire under it. Is that okay?
Yep.
Let me see what, let's just see what comes out of that old religious background. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. You are no longer a sinner. Do you know that? How many of you know that for sure? You are absolutely no longer. Jesus isn't going to die again for your sins. Is that all right? Is that correct?
Yes.
He died once and once for all. And in dying for you and you understanding what the blood of Jesus and what Christ has done for you, what's going to happen is hopefully an understanding of, oh man, I can't do this anymore. What I used to do, I can't do anymore. And then so all of a sudden, the Word of God says that, hey, old things pass away. And all things become what? Brand new. So sometimes we gotta listen to the Word of God. Listen to what's being spoken, because I will tell you, we are a church that's made, this church here is to build people up, kingdom people. This is what God has called us to do. I myself didn't think that God made the right choice when He made me a pastor. That's a God, you're crazy. How many know God does crazy things?
Oh, yeah.
He did a crazy thing putting this guy up front. But I will tell you that I know why. Because I have gotten into the habit when He tells me something, I'll say it. When He shows it to me and He reveals it to me and He places it in my heart as a foundation stone. Do you know that? That God is building a foundation within you. Do you know that? You're going to have a foundation. He's going to show you something else, and He's going to show you two or three scriptures. All of a sudden, you go, oh, my God. Hey, man, you got a bigger foundation. Your foundation keeps getting bigger and bigger. This is why I love the Word of God. This is why I am. Like Paul said, I'm addicted to ministry. I didn't realize it, but I'm really addicted to ministry. I'm a wino for God. Is that right? Come on, man. That's weird, huh? Yeah, come on. Yeah, he says, Lord, give us some new wine. Can you say amen to that? Fill these wineskins, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go into John chapter 11 once again. I'm going to start at verse 3. Lazarus is sick, and Jesus has just heard about it. Verse 3 says, therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Right off the bat, what did he say? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be manifested thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He was in a place called Bethabara. How's that? Some Bethabara. Anyway, it's a place where John the Baptist was baptizing. And it was in the Jordan Valley. It was actually only about not even 20 miles away. That's how close he was. But yet, he still had to walk out of the valley, climb the mountains, because Jerusalem, it's in the hills, in the mountains. So he had to move from there. But he waited. How many say amen?
Amen.
How many know that sometimes God just waits? Is that right?
Yeah.
God, I got to have it now, God. Is that right? Isn't that what we say to God? God, I got to have it now. God, give it to me now. There's a place in Jeremiah where I remember just reading this, that Jeremiah asked for something, and God waited 10 days, and then he revealed it to him. 10 days. Oh, man. So, folks, hey, our whole thing is just wait for God. Can you say amen to that? And this is what's going on here. Jesus is, he goes, hey, we're just going to hang out here a little bit. He said that the sickness is not unto death. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, The Jews of late have sought to stone you. And you're going there again? And then Jesus gives them one of the craziest, and I said this last week, it's one of the craziest answers to what they're to why they're going to go back. He says this, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles. And then he says this, because there's no light in him. See, Jesus is telling us nothing that we don't know. How many say amen to that? How many know you walk around at night, it can be dangerous to your feet? Is that right? Get up in the middle of the night, the wife or the husband has moved the furniture around, right? Yeah, and it says he stumbles, right? Boom, boom, crash, boom, hey, what happened? Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, it's not nothing that we don't know. But he said that he that walks in the darkness, one of the reasons he says is because there's no light in him. Wait a minute, God, are you talking about a flashlight? No, I'm talking about a light within you, teaching you how to walk. Is that okay? So he tells him this in the midst of hey, we're gonna go back to Judea and go see Lazarus, Bethany, if you want. And the disciples are trying to talk him out of it. But he says, hey, we got to do this for the glory of God. Because he said it earlier. He said, this is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. Is that right? His life was for the glory of God. How many of you know that God, that's what God's given you to do? Your life is for the glory of God. Is that right? All right, so here we go. So these things he said, after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, then he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Therefore, Jesus is going to explain it to them a little better. Is that okay? And he says, okay. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Hallelujah. How many know that walking with Jesus can be a little confusing? Anybody? I mean, sometimes God will say something to me. I go, what? Are you kidding me? This is one of those. I mean, you know, the disciples, they're listening to him, hopefully. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, right? Is that what Jesus told him? We saw that. Next thing he said, well, Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine the disciples going, well, wait a minute. You said it wasn't unto death. But Jesus told him, he goes, but so that you might know, we're going to show the glory of God. Is that okay? Can I tell you the disciples didn't have any idea. We know what happened. Is that right? We know that Lazarus was stinking. Is that right? Yeah. We know that they rolled the rock away and Jesus raised him from the dead. Is that right? Yeah, we know that. But see, this hadn't happened yet. These guys are looking at something different, and they're saying, God, Lord, you're going to get in trouble over there. He goes, no, we've got to do what my Father wants us to do. So we're going to jump down to, I guess it's verse 20. So Jesus makes the trek, and he's getting close. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Yeah. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall live again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall arise in the resurrection at the last day. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then verse 26 says, he goes, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? How many believe in Jesus? How many of you are still alive? Yeah. I see a few people that haven't lifted their hands, so maybe we got some, maybe we got to get a little louder in here. Yeah. He that liveth and believes. Is that what it says? Hey, folks, I would, I've said before, I would be fine if you would have said it just the first time and said, you know, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, right? I would have been fine with that. But right now he's saying something totally different. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he that believeth, that lives and believes in me, he will what? What does it say?
Never die.
Never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus is definitely talking about physical death. How many say amen? He's not talking about spiritual death. I've had people come to me. Because, folks, I've been going through this a long time. The Holy Spirit has been talking to me about death and about our reactions to it and why sometimes people don't get healed. God has been speaking to me on these things. And it wasn't until I started this because the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to speak on these now. This I've given it now because it's time for the body of Christ to hear these things. I said, okay. All right, God. I didn't realize how big the deposit of what God is talking about was in me. Every time I looked at something, I'd have 15 scriptures that came up in my heart. I said, oh my God, Lord, I can't speak all this at one time. Hey, do in segments. But speak it to the body of Christ. Because how many of you know there's just some things that we don't understand about God. Is that right? Is that okay? There's a lot of things that we have no idea. And I just said, 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 through 10. I'm going to bring this one out again. I brought this out last week. Because this kind of references that scripture where Jesus said, hey, he that walks at night stumbles. You walk in the day, you don't stumble because you can see clearly, because you see the light. And then he says this, of this world. How many of you know that God wants you to walk not so much in the light of this world, but in the light that he wants to bring to you? Is that okay?
Amen.
Is that all right with you? So in saying that, this is what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? How many say amen to that? Come on. Come on, help me out this morning. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Is that right? God wants you to have a sound mind. Is that right? Hallelujah. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of what? The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. See, there are afflictions that come. It said of the gospel, is that right? Of the good news. Of this story that we tell, of this truth that we tell, sometimes afflictions come. Folks, I've gone through some of this stuff. I've had people say, you're crazy. I ain't coming to your church anymore. Is that okay? I've had people say to me, hey, you know, it's given unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. I said, yeah. I took all those things like these people have been saying to me. I took them all before the Lord. I said, Lord, yeah, but it says it's given unto man once to die. He says, yeah, you died already, Henry. I said, what are you talking about? It says that in Galatians chapter 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. So what God is saying in that scripture that you already died. Is that okay? And then it says, and then the judgment. See, judgment is recognizing what God wants to say to you. Judgment is recognizing what God wants to do with you. Recognizing the things of God that he has placed before you to take you to where he wants you. Is that okay? That's what good judgment is. So it says, it's, you know... Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. I got something coming in. Is that okay? I got a little bit of a download happening. All right. Yeah. So sometimes it's gonna cause me to stutter. Is that all right? Because I got to figure out how to utter that word. You know? Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know that you died? Do you know that you died when you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you know you were crucified? The payment that God did to get you to Jesus, it happened that day. Amen. Even though he paid for it 2,000 years ago. Is that all right? Do you understand that? Know this. He's not trying to blame you for anything. Can you say amen to that? He's not trying to get you to crawl on your knees all the way to San Javier from here. Is that okay? He's not trying to get you to do that. He's trying to get you to understand him. Is that okay? Yep. Come on, hallelujah. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Is that right? According to whose purpose? His purpose. Is that right? His purpose. Grace, another word for the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace, charis, if you will. According to his own purpose, which was given us in Christ before the world, what? Yeah, that's cool. Can you say amen? Can I tell you that God knew you before the world began? Is that right? He gave you things before the world began. That is mind-blowing to me. Can you say amen to that? Can you really realize that God saw you in the beginning when he created you? When he created the heavens and the earth, that he saw you? You? Can you believe that? That's what it says. That he saw you. And then he created all the men, the women, the dogs, the cats, the trees, the oceans, and he created all that. And on the seventh day, he goes, check it out. He rested. Is that right? On the end of that sixth day, he looked at everything he made. He said, it's good. See, God looks through time. And he sees you. He looks through time. He sees all of you, all of us as the body of Christ. He sees us all. And he says, then he goes, I'm done. It's done. It's a done deal. We're good. See, God looks at it and everything that happened on this, even through the wars and the sicknesses and the prostitution and the child pornography and all the stuff in between. God's look at towards the end. He says, it's a good deal. We're going to do it. Isn't that cool? Yep. He knew and he knows everything about us in the future. Can you say amen? Amen. So his purposes are already within you. They're already working for you, but you got no idea sometimes. I mean, say amen. Amen. Yeah, okay, well, okay. Some of you are going, whew, that went a little over my, but that's okay. Listen. So and he says this. But now it's made manifest. All these things that God has prepared for you is made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that right? Yes. He's caused it all to show up. And then he says, who has what? Abolished death. I'm going to read this. Who abolished death? Death, the word abolished is in the Greek, it's kartagio. Everybody look at your neighbor and say kartagio. Make it me. Now you'll never forget this word. It says, he says, he abolished death. The word is that the word means to render entirely useless. Can I tell you that death is useless? Not one amen. That's okay. That's all right. Death is useless. And it says, to render and to put away, to destroy and to make void. That's what he said. He abolished death. He made void death. He put it away. Is that okay? All right, now that's good. I'm glad we agree with that. All right, and it says, he abolished death and brought life. Everybody say life.
Life.
And immortality to light. You see that? He brought immortality to life. Immortality, the word for it is, the word is aphtharsia. Everybody say that?
Aphtharsia.
Yeah, you got it. And it means an unending existence. That's what it means. So Jesus abolished death, made it useless, and has brought life and immortality, which is unending existence, to light. Do you see that? To light. This is connected where Jesus was talking to the apostles, and he says, hey, we're going to go over there. And he says, Nico, well, why should we go? Because I'm going to show you something. Is that right? He's getting ready to reveal something that they had not seen before. Is that all right? Oh, yeah. Come on, man. He's getting ready to reveal the power that's invested in life. Listen, I'm gonna have him put up this question. What is life? You got that? Guess. How do you say it, man? Vivo. What is life? Say it for me, John. Say it in Spanish. What is life? ¿Qué es? Híjole, qué burro. ¿Qué es vida? Viva vida. Yeah, what a crazy Mexican I am, is that right? Come on, bro. Thank God he's giving me a sound mind. Hey, what is life? What is life? And check out these. I went to Siri. How many like Siri? I don't like her. She don't get along with me. Rosie will tell Siri, call this person. Boom. I say, Siri, call. I don't understand that. Or it says something like that. I say, Siri, turn on my light. The light never goes on. I have to turn it on myself. Siri and I don't get along. And I think God made it that way. Yeah. Oh, why did Jesus? Well, listen, this is what I went to Siri and I said, hey, Siri. Seriously, Siri, what is life? And this is what she said. It is the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, including the capacity of growth, reproduction, function, activity, and continual change preceding death. Okay. That's okay. And then there was another one that says, the existence of an individual human being or animal. And then I looked at another one. This is a psychologist's answer, and it's close to the first one. Any system capable of performing functions such as eating. How many like to eat?
Oh, yeah.
Then you're alive. Yeah? Metabolizing. Yeah. That's changing food into energy, right? All right. You're that. Excreting, we'll leave that one out. Breathing, how many are breathing? Oh yeah, moving. And some of you aren't moving much, but I said, but anything moving, growing. How many are growing? Come on, every one of us are growing in the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, just put your hand up. Growing, reproducing. We'll leave that one out. Responding to external stimuli. That's what it says. This is what life is. Okay. That's all right. I can see why. They learned what life is by looking at things. Is that right? By looking around us. But let me just show you something. This is my, oh, I closed my book. John chapter 8:12. Look at what he said. Look at what this is. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of what? Everybody say it. Life. Life. Everybody look at say life. Vida. Come on. Life. Look at your neighbor, say life. Look at your neighbor, say vida. Yeah, nice. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said unto them, I am the way,
the truth,
and the life.
And what?
The life.
No man comes to the Father but by me.
Ow.
Let me just say this to you. Jesus is life.
Yes.
Somebody asked you, what is life? Life is Jesus. God, the life of God in Christ, that's life. Is that right?
Yes.
Can't change it. That's life. That's the answer for that. Life is Christ. Jesus told this to Mary when she was there. And it's John 11:25 says this. He says, look, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Life. He hadn't even been resurrected yet. Can you say amen to that? Jesus was still walking, still hadn't gone to the cross yet. And he says, Martha, I am the resurrection. Do you understand that? What does resurrection mean? Brought back to life. Is that right? To resurrect, bring back to life. Jesus said, I am that. I am life.
Yes.
Can you say amen? Woo, come on, man.
No.
Hallelujah. You cannot put this up there, brother. You cannot mix life with death. Well, wait. There it is.
Yep, there we go.
Can you say amen? How many say amen?
Amen.
Hey, look at your neighbor and say, you cannot mix life with death. You just can't do it. When I was doing a eulogy for a friend of mine that passed away, I said this last week, but some of you didn't hear it. But when I was doing a eulogy, I wrote down, death is just a part of life, is what I wrote down. And the Holy Spirit corrected me immediately. He said, take that off of there. Don't ever write that. Don't ever say that. Death is far from life as hot is from cold, light is from darkness. And let me just, and spokes, let me just say, when God talks to me, I say, okay, God, I get it. Yeah, I like, okay, I won't say it, but show it to me. How many do that with God? Can I tell you that God wants you to know? Is that right? He's not trying to hide anything from you. He wants you to know. So then I said, all right, God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. You cannot mix death with life. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So you can't put them together. What communion has light with darkness? Can't put them together. Is that right? The light will overtake the darkness. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Come on.
Amen.
All right. What communion had light with darkness? You see, life and death, you can't mix them. You can't put them together. They don't work well together. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says this. Glory to God. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of what?
Darkness.
Light.
Yes.
But if your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? You see, they don't mix. You either have light or you got darkness. Can you say amen? This is what, these are scriptures. These are what God is saying. Look, you can't put them together. Don't ever put them together, Henry. I am life. Death, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is an enemy of God. How many say amen? How many of you know that? All right. So I got some. We think that we understand death. Can you say that? We think we understand it. Do you know why? Because it's all around us. We see the whole world going through this all the time. Is that right? And so in our minds, we kind of think that we understand it. Can I say we've got no understanding about what death is? Is that right? Could it be we don't understand life? Could it be that we'll go ahead and mix death and life together within us? Do you know that's not correct? The scripture says, and you saw it, that Jesus abolished death. He made it useless. Is that okay? It's totally out of his order. Is that right? Could it be that we think death is more powerful than life? Listen to me. Do we think that? Do we actually think that? Oh, you know, when we say, you know, when we're talking, we're Christians. Oh, no. Can't be. But folks, we have been raised and conditioned to somehow death is the final thing. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not. Death has no power over you. Can you say amen to that? You are bought with a price. He took death to the cross for you, so you don't have to experience the death of your body. Do you know that? People say, oh, man, Henry, you're getting into some crazy stuff. But I will tell you that there is, how many believe there's sickness in heaven? There is no sickness in heaven. Is that right? How many believe that there's divorce in heaven? How many of you, there's poverty in heaven? It's not there. How many know that death is not in heaven?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So the mindset needs to be that same way, because when God says, pray the heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? Death has no part in this kingdom. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Ooh, man, I know some of you say, well, I'm going to have to go home. Look, don't listen to me. Take the scriptures, go home. But look, this is part two. I think we're going to get all the way to part 12 or 13 or 14 before we get all of this. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is serious about what he's doing with the body of Christ today. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. We are entering into some times, folks. We are in this world we had never seen before. The Spirit is saying expressly that in these last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. Is that right? Lovers of their own selves. Nothing to do with God. They just want to, it's all about me, man. God's not into that, folks. How many say amen to that? Woo, come on, man. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Look at this. Oh, God. This is what Jeremiah is speaking by. He's prophesying. He says, in his day, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name wherewith he shall be called. He's called the Lord our what? Righteousness. How many of you know that you are righteous? You might not act like it sometimes. Is that all right? But God sees all the way to the end. Is that all right? He knows what he's going to take you through to get you there. Is that all right? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, trust God. Proverbs 10:2 says this. Remember, the Lord says that, Jeremiah said he's called the Lord our righteousness. Proverbs 10:2 says this, treasure of the wicked profits nothing, but righteousness delivers from what? Delivers from death. Is that right? Proverbs 11:4 says this. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Who are you going to pay? Anyway, but righteousness delivers from death. Is that right? I'm giving you two witnesses so you can look at it. They're all over the Old Testament. They're in the New Testament. Romans chapter 3 verses 22 through 26. Look at this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. How many of you believe here? See, his righteousness is upon you. Is that okay? It's upon all, it's upon you. It's in you. Glory to God. For there is no difference. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Is that right? What is that scripture? That is a scripture that gets us to Christ. Do you know that? You hear, all have sinned. Well, that means I'm a sinner. Yeah, and I need a Savior. And then you get saved. And then you're no longer a sinner. But it just takes a while for you to know and to understand these things. Is that okay? It's by listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word, and hearing the Word again. And you begin to get stronger and stronger because God desires to strengthen you by His Word. I don't read books. I don't look at a lot of pastors or stuff on the internet. I just don't do it. I want to know what He has to say. I don't care what's going on over there. I want to know what's going on in this kingdom we're in. How many say amen to that? Therefore, I won't tell you a lot of stuff about books I've read, all this other stuff. Nah, I ain't going to say that because I don't read a lot of books. Rosie will tell you. It's this. This is what's going to take you there. Is that right? We have this thing over our door. Well, it's not there yet, is it, Pastor? Independently dependent upon God. This is what every person in the body of Christ needs to be. You cannot have, I mean, wives don't get mad, but wife, you cannot be telling your husband what he needs to be doing. Is that okay? My wife's the only one. She laughs. Yeah. Husbands, you can't tell your wife what she needs to be doing when it comes to spiritual things. Can you say amen to that? We all need to be individually led by the Spirit. He will not lead you. Listen, I got to throw this out there since I said that. He will not lead you to fight with your husband. He will not lead you to fight with your wife. Is that okay? If you're headed that way, something else is leading you. Is that right? Probably you. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Huh. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now it says, being justified freely. See that? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, you're redeemed. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, however you say it, I don't know. It says, through faith in His blood. See, that propitiation, it's another word is atonement. And they put the atonement on this beautiful golden disc that was above the manna and above the rod of Aaron. And that was above the, what was the other thing that was in there? The manna, the rod of Aaron, and the commandments were in this box in the tabernacle. It was called the Ark. All these things were in there. There were the sins. There's two angels looking at this dish. And without blood on it, these two angels could see right through that dish and they could see all the sins that man was doing. But the priest, once a year, would go over and he'd take the blood of the lambs and he'd pour it out on this dish. And that blood would cover those sins for another year. Isn't that cool? That's how he did it then. But Jesus now has become that mercy seat, that place of atonement for us. Do you understand that? You can't beat this deal. Can you say amen? Burger King's got nothing on this deal. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, and I like this, to declare, I say, at this time that His righteousness, that He might be just, and He is the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Do you see what the Word of God is telling you? God went through all of that to justify you. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. Romans 3:20 through, that was it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. Look at this. For he made him to be sin for us, right? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Is that right? In him. What does righteousness deliver you from?
Sin.
From death. Romans 6:23 says this: the wages of sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is that right? Now listen, I read that scripture years and years. I said it. I learned it in the Romans Road. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said it. The Lord said to me, when I was reading this one, when he's teaching me about this thing, he goes, "So Henry, why do you die? Why will you die?" I said, "Trick question, God." I said, "No." He says, "There is no reason for you to give up your body to death. Do you know that? Because the wages of sin is death. He paid for your sins. Therefore, you don't have any sins. So death has no hold on you." Can you say amen to that? Folks, you don't realize how sometimes you just got no idea how powerful this is for the church today. For the kingdom of God this is the way the kingdom is. This is why you will be raising folks from the dead. Do you know that? I asked the Lord, "Lord, why is it? Why is it that people don't get raised up? And why is it we're not doing like you said you're going to do? We're going to do, Lord, we're going to do more than you." Is that right? "Lord, we're going to do more than you. And why isn't it happening, Lord?" His answer's kind of startling. He says, "Because you're still connected to death. You cannot mix death and life. You're either in life or you're in death." God said it in the Old Testament. Pick one. "I put before you today life and death. Which one do you want?" Amen. Right? He didn't say, "Okay, blend them together. No. Take them both." He didn't say that. He said, "It's either life or death. Where are you at?" Romans chapter 8. I didn't give this one to Abe, so I'm going to have to go. Oh, praise God. Romans chapter 8 says this. I keep skipping over it. Romans 8. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," listen, "has made me free," right?
Yes.
"From the law of
sin
and death." Is that right?
That's it.
Why are we even bothering with death? He abolished it. He made it useless. This is a word for the kingdom of God today. This didn't work so many years ago. The Holy Spirit, I believe, you know, the Word of God says that God has placed in his power the times and the seasons that are coming. The Holy Spirit, I don't think he opened this can yet. The Word of God says there are mysteries in this kingdom. And this is one of those mysteries. The mystery of Christ in you is a mystery. Can you say amen? But yet, it's how many of you know Jesus lives in you? Is that right?
Amen.
Kick out the death. You can't mix him with death. Quit thinking, "Well, this could kill me." No, it can't. When I was laying with 102 temperature for 14 days, I'm laying there in the bed and I heard a voice and it said, "You're over 60, I'm gonna kill you." This can't be God. But I didn't even know how to respond. I just laid there, I was so weak, I just laid there, whatever. All of a sudden from within me began to roll this, and out of my mouth came, "You can't kill me. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that live, it's Christ lives in me. Death has no power over us, folk." Do you know that? You got to get to know it, because these are the things of the kingdom of God. He's revealing them to the church. It's going to cause us to walk in a way. Hallelujah. When somebody's on their deathbed, you tell that death to get off the bed. Amen? Get off the bed, because life has walked into the room. Can you say amen to that? Life and more abundant life, because Jesus is the life.
Amen.
And he dwells in us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got more. I got more. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a, you know, the word of God says, you know, man is as grass, right? You got me? You heard, read that scripture. It says it like in four or five places in the Bible. Man is as grass. And as a flower of grass, the sun comes up, withers the grass, and the grass fadeth away. You got to pay attention to the last part. Because it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that's the same word he's placed into your heart. Boom. Boom. That word is in your heart. And that word endures forever. It resists death. It abolishes death. Folks, we got to stand up for what God has done. Amen. Hallelujah. Quit messing around with this stuff. Believe him. And watch what happens. Amen. Brother Abe, come on up and finish this off, man. Sorry, man. Glory to God. Poor guy, put him on the spot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, brother.
All right. So, you know, like Pastor was saying earlier, is like, you know, just don't take his word for it. Actually search it out for yourself. Because, you know, we really do believe in this church that we are independently dependent upon
yes.
God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah? So, and I don't, does anybody remember what I said about last week? What scripture I talked about? You're supposed to be like, yeah, of course. And then I'll just tell it anyways. No, but where I referred to the book of Acts, and it talked about the Berean Jews, right? It said they're of more noble character because not only did they take Paul's message and took it like with great joy, but they also went back and daily searched the scriptures to see if what he said was true. So, you know, we should always be like that. We should have that more noble character where we're going to go through scriptures and we're going to say, hey, God, is this true? Because I'll tell you, when the revelation of truth through the word, when you have that revelation, it sticks with you and it's more powerful than just if somebody told you, you're like, yeah, okay. Because that kind of revelation, you can defend it, right? Because you know why you believe what you believe. But if you have faith in something and you just, because you took somebody's word for it, it's like, well, because they said so, right? That's something that's easy for somebody to tear apart. So let me pray this scripture. So if you would, please stand, if you're able. And I'm going to pray this scripture over you. And it's actually from Ephesians chapter 1. So, Lord, I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.